Right. Hey, guys. Welcome to Overflow. We're so happy that you're here. I'm Miranda, but you can call me Mer, whatever you want. We are starting a brand new series tonight, and I'm super excited. It is called Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, and we're going to jump right in a little bit to Psalm 118:24. It says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And this is kind of the focus of this series, going through some of like the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, which are instructions that Jesus gives us to fulfill that psalm, to be able to rejoice and be glad in every day. And I really want to focus on being able to rejoice, because that's one thing that I've always wrestled with, is how to rejoice in struggle. Because let me tell you, I have struggled, okay? I know most of you might know this, but I've struggled with anxiety and depression almost my entire life. And I used to spend about half of my day in anger, just asking God, how do I rejoice when I can't even get out of bed, when I feel like this? But now I think I understand a little bit better. When I refuse to let that ruin my life, when I refuse to let anger or hurt or depression win, I'm refusing sin. And my earthly body loves to sin. It's great. It feels wonderful. That's the desire of my flesh. But when I deny that desire, it's like popping a kid's balloon on their birthday. You're like bummed and upset that your flesh doesn't get what they want. But the joy that you receive later is so much greater than that. So while you're struggling, while you're sad or upset or hurt or angry, your feelings right now don't have to pertain to your actions and your everlasting joy. You can still have the joy of the Lord while you feel crappy. So even when it's the hardest, we are called to rejoice in the love of the Lord, in the sacrifice of Christ. I'm going to be saying it a couple times, but I want you to remember that your feelings matter. Jesus wept. God has had anger and despair. They are the most understanding and are suffering with you, but we can still rejoice. And I feel like if we don't understand that it is always possible to rejoice all the time in the Father, then we kind of won't get the rest of the series. So even I need to remind myself that despite my feelings, even if they're very valid and strong, I can continue to have everlasting joy in Jesus because He always wins. So getting into the purpose of tonight, I want to ask you, have you ever felt like you had a stir? Like a stir of something in your gut, like something was maybe off. Like maybe you were angry at someone, or you had a fear of something, you were maybe anxious or worried. Because I felt all of those things. And Jesus tells us, in order to have that great day full of joy every day, we need to join His Peace Corps. Let's look at our scripture for tonight, Matthew 5:9. Happy are the people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. I want to talk about the word peace, because I am a super word nerd, and I think it's super cool. But the Old Testament Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And shalom can mean a lot of things, but if you want like one big definition, it means wholeness. It means not missing a single piece, and not only stopping conflict, but then working together for each other's benefit. So to bring shalom means to restore, to make complete. And when you look in the Old Testament, you can see that maybe God isn't very peaceful. There's a lot of violence and conflict, and it always feels like there's something missing, which is why Jesus came, why He's referred to as the Prince of Peace, because He became the peacemaker for God. If you remember, we kind of have talked about before that sin separates us from God, and Jesus is that bridge. So Jesus is that missing piece to restore that intimate relationship with God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if you're like me, some of us don't seek out peace. We avoid conflict. That's a lot of people. I went to Peru a few summers ago on a missions trip, And I remember getting into this really intense game of phase 10. If you don't know what that is, awesome game. But two people got into this argument, and they weren't even yelling, they were just like talking through it, and I couldn't even be in the same space. Like, I physically got up, I was like trying to crack jokes in the corner, I was trying to like keep an eye on everything, and like being super awkward, not resolving anything, like talking to other people, being physically away from that conversation. And we ended up as a whole group, everyone, not just like three or four people, the whole group had to have a talk about conflict resolution because I couldn't deal with it, because I couldn't vocalize or like be in the presence of conflict. And to some of us who are like that, I would say focus on vocalizing your current heart posture, where you're at, your feelings. Talk about how you actually feel and let them go. Because it feels so much better to tell Josh that I'm mad at him right away instead of waiting 2 days and then just exploding, which I've done, we've both done, probably a lot of us have done. But that's 2 whole days wasted in harboring anger and disappointment instead of seeking out peace. Because it's not going to resolve itself on its own. It might get smaller, the feelings might dip and weave, but it won't bring you peace just sitting there waiting. And then there are some people who never actually let go. I'm not talking about saying sorry to that one person or confessing a sin. I'm not talking about anything but where your heart is at. Because your heart condition is where the real peace happens. It doesn't count if you say sorry to someone and then still swear at them in the back of your head every time you see them, right? Remember when you were a kid, and if you had siblings or you had like really close friends, and you would fight, and your parents would like break you up and make you say sorry to each other, you had to apologize. And so you would always be like, I'm sorry, and like super like begrudgingly, but you were still inside like so mad that they took your toy. But being honest with yourself about still having those feelings are gonna lead to better peace. I talked a while ago about forgiveness and what that looks like. And I want to mention it again because I think it could lead to peace. Forgiveness, forgiving someone, can eventually lead to peace. And we're taught in the Bible that we've been given, forgiven, so we must forgive, which is very true. Grief is your own journey. God understands your pain, your anger, your sadness, but you will find peace in honesty. You will not find peace in deceiving yourself and others. Proverbs 12:20 says, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. Notice the word plan. Plan peace, not come across it, not wait for it. Those who ask and work towards, because it's not easy in the slightest. It's extremely difficult to continuously pursue peace. I had an extreme event happening in my life. I remember speaking about it during the forgiveness sermon, but to be a little bit blunt, which I am, in college I was raped by a man who sang worship beside me. And I can't tell you that I sought out peace. I harbored anger for a long time until I found myself continuously thinking about this frustration and the hatred and the anger. And I realized, I'm not going to find peace until I seek it. I'm not going to let go until I release those feelings to God. And I'm never going to find joy until I remind myself that I'm still a child of God, that Christ died for me and he died for that man, and that is why I can still proclaim his name and rejoice in him. Because you don't stumble upon peace. You can't just let it happen like a feeling. You need to seek it out from God and from Jesus and act upon it. Or we're not going to be able to find that goodness in every day we walk on this earth. Because this earth, to be honest, it's full of sin and disgust and anger. And that's not very peaceful. We are the peace. God gives us the peace. And we need to seek it out for ourselves. Now that that's settled, We can talk about how to tangibly do this. We know what it means to suffer and still seek joy. We know what peace is and how we might have trouble with it. But how do we seek out peace every day? The simple answer is Jesus is peace. If we follow Jesus' actions in most situations, which is difficult, but we would be just fine. Just remember to understand that all of the peace comes from him, because he's the missing piece to the puzzle, just like we talked about earlier. But peace looks a little bit different in every situation, right? In rejection or bullying, it looks like walking away, not engaging in backtalk or angry outbursts, and keeping your cool as Jesus would have. Another way is keeping faith in times of trial or storms, continuing to rejoice through them, prayerfully asking God for his peace. And lastly, take peace during worry by remembering and reminding yourself of the cross and the sacrifice, pursuing the peace of everlasting truth over the worry of today. In all of that, I do want to point out that me specifically, maybe not you, or maybe some of you, we put ourselves in unpeaceful situations all the time. I have a struggle with my self-image and comparing myself and allowing that devil on my shoulder to speak down to me and competing with myself. And that's not okay. That's not peace. That's self-destruction and is almost the opposite. If you continue to put yourself in situations where you can't find God's peace and you know that you can't, you're hurting yourself. We need to stop pretending like self-destruction is okay. Stop scrolling through Instagram if all you're going to do is compare. Stop hanging out with those people if they aren't lifting you up and encouraging you. Stop putting yourself in the way of God's peace. You're just placing a barrier between the relationship of peace and trust that you could be having with Jesus. Don't pretend like you're okay to yourself or to other people. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to be depressed and sad and angry, but the second that you hold that in, you're fighting with yourself. So you need to pursue peace with others, with God, and with yourself. Being on Jesus's Peace Corps means you can take peace wherever you go, where you're at now. We have the Holy Spirit, the power of prayer, and the Prince of Peace. So I want to ask you, what do you need to make peace with God about? What is that worry, that storm, the guilt, the person that you need to make peace with? And how are you going to do that? What does that look like for you? Does it look like walking away? Does it look like forgiveness? Pray about that this week. And if you don't feel that peace, pray continuously. We just went through an entire series on prayer and praying through the breakthrough. Talk to people in the community, in this community. Whatever that looks like, talk through that grudge, the struggle, the storm, because nothing is going to happen until you pursue it actively. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your peace, for the ability to calm the storm, God. Thank you for the trials, for everything that we've been through that strengthen us, that make us who we are, God. And I pray that you would just continue to mold us in your image. I pray that we would learn to not harbor anger, that we would be able to forgive. We thank you for your forgiveness, for your sacrifice. And we're so, so thankful for that, God. We're thankful for you and what you've done and what you will do, God. Thank you for your compassion, for your peace, for the ability to worship you, God. We thank you for leading us to where we are and where we will go. We praise you and we love you, and it's in your Son's name we pray.